Affair.
Don't forget, Andre Patterson, Vikings defensive coordinator at 4:30. I'm looking forward to chat with him because generally lately it's been to chat about a loss and not necessarily a great defensive performance, even though I blame the offense for certainly the last loss more than the defense. But an absolutely masterpiece defensively against the Chargers, so there'll be plenty to get to with Andre. We're waiting for Mike Zimmer, his presser, to begin in just a couple of minutes. Any second, actually, and as soon as that begins, we will go to it live. And that leaves the 5 o'clock hour for several Vikings talking points as well, in addition to those we have already examined and covered on the program today. We will get back, I think, to some Gopher stuff before we're in done. Gopher football stuff. Gopher women lose yesterday?
No, they won by 16. To George Washington?
They won. They beat George Washington.
They did.
So yeah. they followed up that horrible opening loss with an impressive road victory
overtime
against
thriller.
An Arizona State team that you basically have winning the Pac-12.
Think about it. We took them down in overtime.
Exaggerated a little bit of their ability, but they've got some cachet. They're probably better than Jacksonville.
Yes,
Beat them there, correct?
Yeah, 66-59 in OT.
And meanwhile, going over men's basketball,
can't be stopped.
Right now, they're on pace to match the 1975-76 Hoosiers, who went 32-0 and won the national championship, correct? There's no difference.
No difference.
Let's listen to the Vikings head coach, Mike Zimmer.
We had I thought we covered well, hit all the kicks. Guys are working their rear ends off on special teams and starting to show some of those situations. Defensively, I thought we played well. For the majority part of the game, I thought the corners played pretty good against some good receivers. Obviously, Kendricks had a big game. Vigil did a nice job. I thought the defensive line played solid the entire time. And offensively, we started out a little slow, turned the ball over on a fumble. We weren't able to get the ball down the field until late in the ball game, but we came up with three drives there at the end that allowed us to win the football game. So still got a lot of work to do, get back going this week and start grinding again. But I was proud of the way that the team fought and performed and finally to get get into the fourth quarter and go get a win.
Matt followed by Jim.
Hey, Mike. I was hoping you could explain what happened on the Kendricks interception and if that's part of his skill set that makes him unique is his ability to get back on a route like that, or what happened that led to that interception?
He was in a coverage that was, where he was working kind of the middle of the field, and he's got a very good feel about when guys are trying to come behind him or try to clear him out, and so this guy was trying to kind of come behind him, and I think he just rolled with him and made a really good play.
Mike, when you look at this group of players, there's been so many opportunities for this team to bail or go off the tracks. I mean, you had the Dalvin situation, you have COVID, you have all these tough losses. Yet this group doesn't give up. The compete level has been pretty remarkable. What do you attribute that to?
Well, I think, Jim, biggest thing is character in the locker room. But the same thing, we've had a bunch of tough losses, but we've also had, a lot of opportunities to win those games, too. And so, I think it was important that we won yesterday because, they keep giving great effort, and they haven't had a lot to show for it. So, I think that should energize us even a little bit more. But we had a lot of guys go in there and play well. And typically, when you got good character in the locker room, guys continue to fight. So, but it was important for us to win yesterday.
Chris, followed by Courtney.
Yeah, Mike, with five defensive starters, guys, United filling in and doing a pretty good job with you. How well does that kind of, for the future, especially obviously this being a long 17-game season?
You were breaking up, but I'm assuming you said something about the guys that filled in. Did you see the game?
I'm in an airport that was not good. But just how well does it bode for the future? You know, the guys filled in for the defensive starters out, especially with this being, you know, a long 17-game season.
I think the corners played well against two good receivers. I thought Cam Bynum did a nice job in the things that we asked him to do. Vigil's been playing a lot this year because of, you know, the bar injury, but we're still trying to figure out, you know, some ways to continue to get some more pass rush with the guys that we have. So, you know, that's going to be a work in progress, and we'll keep trying to figure out more ways.
Kind of Smith, Barr, Patrick Peterson, you think you'll have any of those guys back this Sunday?
I'm hopeful.
Mike, when it comes to the offensive play calling operation, were there any changes made to that yesterday as far as just like the execution of the play calling itself?
No. That was pretty much the same input from everybody. Just go with the plan. It wasn't, you mean like, did somebody else do the play calls or something?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like you've told Clint previously, like, be more aggressive. And then yesterday, I remember you said, you told him fourth quarter, be more, like, on that situation about winning the game with the offense on the field. Like, is it just that it worked, or were there, like, was there different voices, calling plays, like, about, you know, that yesterday?
No, there wasn't anything different.
Excuse me?
Sam, followed by Chad.
Yeah, Mike, at about the halfway point of the season, have you taken stock at all with just the parity in the league and sort of the opportunity for, you know, you or anyone in the NFC to get hot and, you know, absolutely pull away to grab one of those playoff spots?
Not really. We've been fighting so much and so hard to try to get back to get some wins. I don't think when you're 3-5, you think about those things. I know that, we did mention that, there's been a lot of times we've got on a roll and continue to get better and better, and we just got to figure out some ways to win games. And so hopefully we'll continue to do that, and then, you know, we'll kind of, you know, as hopefully we get some more wins, and then we can start talking about that a little bit more, I think.
Mike, the Chargers have been pretty good against the blitz, but yours seemed to get home on Sunday and disrupt Herbert quite a bit. What do you think works so well with the blitzes that you brought?
Well, you know, Paul Gunther's been with me for a long time, and we've always done a nice job with the pressure package. I think he adds a lot to that. But, our guys executed it well. They actually changed up a lot of protections that they hadn't done late in the ball game that we kind of had to get the chalkboard out on the sideline and go back to some of the other stuff that we've done in the past. So, but I give a lot of credit to Paul. I give a lot of credit to Adam and the players, and to be able to adapt and adjust on the fly.
If I can jump in, how often does that happen where it kind of, you know, feels like coaching, I guess, out of a movie where you got the actual board on the sideline or kind of drawing things up mid-game?
Probably every week. We played that coordinator before, and we actually talked about it during the week with the coaches. We said, do you think who's going to give us these two different protections? And they hadn't done it all year, and, you know, we'd actually sacked them a few times in the past. We said, you know, he probably is not going to do that, and then we get it, you know, late in the ball game, and then we have to react and adjust, that's all.
Dave, followed by Joe.
Mike, on the 2 fourth down attempts yesterday, had you made up your mind earlier on those drives you were going to go for it, or did you? Was that more in the moment?
There was another time we're going to go for it too. It just, you know, it's really the situation. You know, it's not necessarily that drive. It's where we're at in that drive. You know, we're down there inside the one on the one. And then on the end of the game, I pretty much just, you know, when we, it was 3rd and 20 and we got 18, and I'm thinking, let's try to win the game now. You know, we did it in Seattle 2 years ago or a year ago, and we didn't get it, you know, and they came back and beat us. But, you know, if we get an opportunity to win the game, then we're going to try and win the game.
Tweet that.
Except for when we have a chance to go for two and end the game.
All right, we'll go to Chris and then come back to Joe.
Yeah, hey, Mike, how are the guys on the various COVID lists doing? And Mason Cole said he had a chance to talk to Dakota Dozier and Garrett Bradbury at the facility today. So is it kind of positive? He said those guys are doing well.
Yeah, Dakota was here today. Bradbury was here today. We anticipate that Harrison Smith will get here Wednesday. Trying to think who else. Willicky's got to get. He's got to pass a couple tests. I can't remember who all else is on there.
Connolly
will be back on Wednesday. I think it's what they say, Wednesday or Thursday.
Sam, followed by Courtney. You're on mute, Sam.
Sam.
Say what?
Sam.
Sorry about that.
Say what?
Mike, you probably don't love having moving pieces on the offensive line, but has Mason Cole's play at least, you know, necessitated the conversation to see if he can stay as part of that group, you know, once Bradbury gets back at some place, or do you like him as your sort of swing guy?
We've had that conversation. We'll just have to see, you know, this week in practice. You know, Bradbury hasn't been here in 2 weeks, or I think it's missed 2 weeks now. So we're just going to have to try to sort it out this week. But Mason's done a really nice job. He's done a terrific job. And so we'll just try to figure this out. It's better than having no options.
Mike, when it comes to Kirk, what do you think the balance is going to be going forward to get this type of play you got out of him yesterday versus, you know, I guess just that balance of I want you to be aggressive and continue to throw the deep ball, but not really worrying as much about what if I throw an interception, what if I turn it over?
Well, I think Kirk, you know, I don't think he worries about throwing interceptions. I know he doesn't want to throw them, but and no quarterback does, but you know, I think early in the game, they were kind of giving us some different looks with the safeties and doing a pretty good job of disguising it. And so he was getting the ball out and getting it to other areas, whereas later in the ball game, I think he had a really good feel for it. And there was times we needed to get the ball down the field. So, J.J. made some great catches. Adam made some great catches. And, you know, I think, you know, that's kind of how he was early in the year, making these guys go get the football and them feeding off of their touches.
Joe?
Yeah, I'm back. I'm not sure if everybody asked this, but Coach, Jefferson not only makes great plays and great catches, but he seems to bring an energy to the field. Is that energy, how valuable is that in a game?
I think it's big. You know, he is a guy that loves to play football, loves to compete, loves, you know, probably loves the limelight a little bit too. But he, you know, when he makes those plays, I think it gets everybody positivity that, you know, we're going to, you know, we still have Cook and Thielen and Conklin and those guys to spread the ball around as well. So, you know, they were paying a lot of attention to him yesterday, doubled him a lot. They rolled the coverage to him a lot, along with Thielen. So, you know, there's times when we're going to have to, you know, figure out ways to help him in some of these areas. Sorry. Deion Sanders.
For time for two more. Eric and whoever else.
Yeah. Come on, Prime.
Should we answer while we're on the call?
Yeah, answer it. Come on, yeah. Jim.
Depends who it is.
It's Deion.
Deion, hey, I just Deion. Said.
Hey, I'm on a call right now. I'll call you back. Actually, I'm on a Zoom meeting with the media. You want to say hi?
Don't swear, Prime.
Hung up.
Too bad. That'd have been cool.
Sorry. Go ahead.
Hey, Mike, you've talked about trying to string some wins together here, and obviously that happened.
Oh, I love it.
Silence it, Zim.
Can you hear me?
Turn the radio off.
Hope it's up.
Say what?
What's going on? My service is bad in my house.
How are you feeling? I'm interview terrified. Right now with
good.
The media. You're on speaker. You're on speaker. You want to say hi?
Hey, everybody. There's a big win my man had yesterday. I picked him. I know he was going to be dominant yesterday. You ain't let no young coach beat you. I know better than that, man.
How are you feeling?
I'm making it, man. I'm getting better and better every day.
All right. I'll call you later. Bye-bye.
This is the best.
Best Zimmer ever.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, go ahead. I haven't been able to get a hold of him for, like, 2 weeks. So, he's been in the hospital.
Okay. So, you talk about trying to string some wins together. You know, obviously, the Packers coming
down. Let's ask more questions.
Any extra juice in the building this week, knowing you'll see them for the first time this year?
You know, I don't know. You know, it's a division game. Obviously, you know, we've had a lot of good battles over the years. You know, I think having won that game and them being at the top of the division, I hope there's a lot of juice.
I was going to ask about playing the Packers, too, but is Deion the most impressive person in your cell phone, or is it Parcells?
Say what? Kenny Chesney?
Oh.
Parcells?
Kenny Chesney.
I got a few.
Call Kenny.
Is that
okay,
it?
Let me ask this then, Bob. No, it's not it, Mike. When it comes to a quarterback that you've seen so many times in Aaron Rodgers, is there anything different about the preparation week, just you know, knowing that he knows you and you know him?
That's a good question. You know, when you play guys like him, they're extremely hard to fool. They're very difficult to, you know, catch off guard. I think the biggest thing with him is, you know, our guys have to understand that this guy can make every throw. He can use his legs. He's very, very smart. You know, he can get him in a lot of good things. And so, you know, we're going to have to be tight in coverage, but, you know, we can't give up big plays as well. And, you know, they're spread the ball around a lot. Okay. Thank you.
There it is. Quite an entertaining.
That was awesome.
Mike Zimmer presser you've been listening to live here on The Fan, included primetime, Deion Sanders calling and calling back and calling again. And then finally, you heard a little bit of his very raspy voice. And Zim said he'd been in the hospital, apparently. I didn't realize he'd been sick.
I missed that, too.
So, in any case,
I knew Mungo let that young coach beat you.
How about that?
That was great.
You think Zim minded that?
Oh, that was good.
I mean, that's just right in the... I think it was planned. I think the whole thing was choreographed because even though Zim says he doesn't care what media people think, I don't think he minded that little comment from primetime. Did you?
No. That was
we'll
great.
Review a couple of those things when we return. We're a little late, though. It's grand in your hand time.
The Fan, along with Blue Ox Heating and Air, trying to put a grand in your hand. It's our national cash contest. Text the keyword grand to 200-200 to enter. Standard text message and data rates apply. Text grand to 200-200.
Don't forget, Vikings defensive coordinator Andre Patterson joins us live at the bottom of the hour. I wonder who will maybe try to call in while we're...
I can hear the couple fighting right next door. Their angry words sound clear through these thin walls. Around midnight I heard them shout, unfaithful one. And I knew right there.
Vikings talking point. Live by the blitz. Win by the blitz.
Justin Herbert ran for a touchdown last game at Philadelphia. He's 6'6", has one of the biggest arms in the game, as now he attempts to display that arm, and he's sacked back at the 5-yard line. It's a sack by Eric Kendricks and a loss of 16 yards. Three receivers left, one to the right on third down. Herbert facing a blitz. Here's Cam Bynum, and he is sacked. Cam Bynum on a safety blitz with the first sack of his NFL career. It's a loss of 13. Zimmer's defense comes up big, and the LA Chargers are punting Cam Bynum. Empty backfield. Herbert goes out of the shotgun. Eckler goes in motion. Justin on second down. Hit as he throws. Incomplete. And it was a blitzing Nick Vigil who hit his former teammate, Justin Herbert, right as he unfurled the pass.
Nothing more arousing for a defensive purist like me than a blitz that pays off. Nothing like it. Coming at it, the quarterback from an angle he did not expect. Maybe from a player he did not expect. Sometimes it feels like it means more than just the one play psychologically. And Tice line was, you know, win by the dog, die by the dog. You can get burned. There's no question, but it didn't seem to happen much yesterday. They were very well placed, very well timed. And as you heard Zim say in the presser, which we just carried live, you know, they're trying to figure out innovative ways to get pressure. We know Danielle Hunter is out. We know that with him out, everybody else looks a little bit more vulnerable, right? So you're going to try various things, various ways. And I didn't think their quarterback looked comfortable at all. I think the stat I saw was this was only the third time in 24 NFL starts in which he was held under 200 yards passing, which is impressive in of itself. And I got to be honest, I thought Sunday, on the basis of the number of people we had out, I said, I don't know that this is realistic. Because I actually asked the Vikings offense to score 34. They were a little short of that. Maybe they could have if they would have needed to. You know, they had the ball. They ended the game with the ball, which is as important as getting a touchdown, you could say. But I just thought when you factored in the bar news, in addition to everybody else being out there, I said, well, there's just not enough left against this offense. They had their game of this season. I don't think there's any question about that. I mean, that's a big-time defensive signature sort of performance. And I know the offense had made some plays and did some good things and kept the pressure on. But to me, this was very much a defensive victory, which is why it makes all the sense in the world for us to chat with Vikings defensive coordinator Andre Patterson. He is
University.
A much-needed 27-20 victory for the Vikings, giving them a shot at 500 as soon as this Sunday when the Vikings take on Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Andre Patterson is joining us via the Connecticut Water Systems hotline. And as we welcome you back, Andre, I don't know if you heard anything about the Mike Zimmer Zoom press conference, which we played live at 4 o'clock, but during the press conference, his phone rang three straight times, and it was Deion Sanders calling. And eventually, he put Deion on speakerphone, so he became a part of the Mike Zimmer press conference today. I don't know if something similar will happen with a surprise guest during this show, but, you know, we'd take it, right?
Yeah, maybe John Randall's listening and feel like call in.
There you go.
That would be big time. I think your listeners would love to hear me and him go back to back with one another.
No question. Maybe we'll make that happen some week. That's not a bad idea. We'll see if we can work that out. Congratulations on the victory. I mentioned to me it was the defensive performance of the year, all things considered. And I want to start with, I think, a sneaky part of the game, a very underrated part of why you end up being in the position you're in. They have cut the lead to 13-10 late first half, and they get the ball back again at the 50 with enough time to perhaps get into at least field goal range, and maybe even worse, knowing that they're, you know, it's a pretty quick striking defense, and you were able to deprive them of even a single first down. Do you remember that series? Because I'm thinking, you know, that could have ended up being a key change about how the outlook was going to be from that point forward.
Well, are you sure, Dan? You didn't used to be a coach in your first life or something?
Maybe it's in the back of my. Maybe I've talked to enough of them that it's starting to some sense is starting to sneak in a little bit.
No question. No, that to me, defensively, that was the biggest part of the game. You know, if they had went down there and scored a touchdown, you know, all of the hard work that we put in, we'd have to go into halftime and get the guys back up again. So, I think during that drive, we got great pressure on them on all three downs. You know, we made him run out of pocket twice, and the guys did a great job on the back end with tight coverage, and you know that drive was huge for us in the game.
No doubt, especially because you knew they were going to get the ball to start the second half. And in fact, they did drive on that occasion. So everything adds up. Everything, as you know, works together. And so it was given the momentum at that point. It's like, okay, here we go again. This has got to be one of those here we go again moments that in this case you were able to fend off. Again, they did drive some. They had some success. But I never felt like we saw the Herbert who has been, you know, some people think is as good as anybody in the league. How did you view what you guys, well, maybe I start it this way. What was the plan? What's the best case scenario in terms of how you wanted to go about limiting, knowing you probably aren't going to shut him out, but limiting what they want to do and particularly what he wants to do as a passer?
Well, I think, first of all, the biggest thing that we wanted to do was make him feel uncomfortable in the pocket and make him get off his spot. When you went and you reviewed all the tape, when he could drop back, feel comfortable in the pocket, plant his back leg, he can make every throw in the book. But if you made him feel uncomfortable, that was the common thread that you saw, like when they played Baltimore, that they were able to harass him. They didn't sack him a lot, but they were able to harass him, and the throws became a little bit off behind, too high.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we stayed on the D line all week is that, hey, you know, obviously we want to sack him, but it's really not about that. It's about making the pocket collapse on him. I mean, there was one time, I don't know if you remember, where DJ Wonnum just took the right tackle and just sat him right back on top of the quarterback's feet, and then the ball, you know, floated out of bounds. So that was number one. And then number two, we really wanted to try to play as tight as we could, coverage on those two good receivers that they had, and make him have to put the ball in tight spots. So, you know, I thought the guys did a great job of executing it. You know, the two drives that they had, there were two, you know, huge pass interference penalties,
yep,
you know, that flipped the field. That gave them a chance to score twice. And, you know, so those two penalties, you know, helped them score. And, you know, I don't think if those penalties would have occurred, we would have been able to, you know, get off the field.
I played a couple of highlights from your blitz, very successful blitzes. The first was Kendricks, Cam Bynum, and then Vigil knocking down the QB, leading to an incomplete pass as well. We've talked about the fine art of blitzing and when to do it and when to not, and the upside of it and the potential dangers of doing it. What kind of percentage did you blitz, and why were the ones that I just named, why were they as effective as they were?
I think in the, you know, I think it was fourth quarter of the game, we probably came with a little bit more pressure than we did, you know, in the first three quarters of the game. You know, Kendrick's sack, I think it was on the first drive,
yes,
if I remember correctly, was a pressure. And, you know, so we came at it with a first pressure of the game to let him know, hey, I think it might have been the second play of the game that, hey,
it's his first pass attempt.
You know,
yeah. Right.
You know, we're going to come after you today too. And, you know, and so then, you know, then we had it got a bead by the fourth quarter of where they were going with their protection. And so we would get a couple free runners at him, and then they changed their protection up, you know, to go to more of a max protection look. And so then we started to go back more with coverage and made him hold the ball a little bit and relied on our four-man rush to harass him. So, like I said, the players did a great job of executing the plan. And, you know, I was really pleased and happy with the guys that, you know, had to step in and play for guys that were not, you know, were not able to play. And, you know, hopefully that's going to be something that we can gain confidence in and help us on down the line.
You know, I talked about that on my Sunday show, that when the, you know, I know what coaches have to say and what they have to do and what players have to do, which is every team has injuries and you just have to, you know, they're still going to play the game. They're not going to postpone the game. But when you factor in, by Sunday morning, you know, by then we knew about Barr as well as all the others are out. I'm thinking, man, this might be too much for this defense to do. And I said, maybe you're going to have to ask for 30 or 34 points from your offense. As it turns out, you didn't need the offense played well at times. It didn't need that point total. So as much as you are you talk, you know, about staying strong, what's the key to not starting to feel sorry for itself a little bit when you are missing the number of players that are supposed to be a regular part of this defense?
Well, you know, then I think number one, it starts off with the coaching staff. You know, if we walk around with doom and gloom on our faces because our, you know, our top guys aren't playing, then the players feel that way too. You know, so I think that's number one. I think number two, that you're constantly selling to them even before the injury bug starts to hit you, that you need to stay focused and your opportunity could come at any time. And then, you know, during practice, when they make good plays, you continue to give them confidence and you let them know, hey, you're ready for this opportunity to go out and play your best. And so we're not asking any of those guys to be Harrison Smith or to be Danielle Hunter or to be Michael Pierce. You know, we just want them to go be themselves or Anthony Barr. Just go be yourself and being yourself. Executing the technique and playing at the best of your ability will give us a great opportunity to win. And I think that's what it comes down to is not putting the pressure on that they have to stand in the injured player's shoes and be the same player that guy is, because in most cases they can't do that.
Vikings defensive coordinator Andre Patterson is our guest on The Fan. Speaking of indispensable, where would you be, where would this defense be without Eric Kendricks?
He's an unbelievable football player and, you know, a great leader on our defense. And he just finds a way to make spectacular plays. And, you know, I get asked the question all the time, Dan, you know, hey, why don't you have your D tackles penetrate more and try to make more tackles for losses? Well, Eric Kendricks is the reason why. If you keep him free, he can almost make every tackle on the field. I'll give you a perfect example. I don't know if you remember this, Dan. You remember when Ray Lewis first became a star player,
right,
for the Baltimore Ravens, and they had those two huge defensive tackles playing in front of him. And,
mm-hmm,
you know, and Ray just ran sideline to sideline and almost made every play on the field. Well, I think it was probably year 6 or 7 going into his career, they decided to change the defense and go to more of a, you know, 3-4 look. And it took Ray some time to adjust because now he had to play off linemen. Big guys were going to be able to leave the line of scrimmage and get their hands on him. And so, you know, if we're smart, you know, you got a special player in Eric Kendricks. Keep him free. And he's going to make a ton of plays for your defense.
It's a really interesting point that in terms of evaluating the success of a team defensively, that's the most important thing. And so sometimes in order, when you state the obvious, when fans say, well, why can't we get more out of the tackles? It can be very much part of the plan of, well, no, part of their job is to leave the linebacker in position where he can roam, where he can make those kinds of plays you're associated with that particular player making.
No question. And when you look at the stat sheet, I think both of our two linebackers were, you know, high up there in tackles. Well, they're able to get that because they're running free.
Yep.
There's nobody touching them. And so it just matters for you as a coach what you believe in. If you believe that you want to be more of the San Francisco system where your D linemen just run up the field and try to get as many tackle for losses as they can and let your linebackers fend for themselves, you know, a lot of teams have won that way too. So it's just a matter of what you feel is best. And I think you have to evaluate who you have on your team. And, you know, if Eric Kendricks was 6'3", 250 pounds, you know, he can go take on a 300, mm-hmm, 20-pound center or guard, but he's not. And but the thing that he has is unbelievable quickness and speed and a natural knack to find the ball. And we would be cheating his talent if we made him play a different way, because the world would not see him as the player that he is right now.
You said something else that intrigues me. You mentioned that earlier in the game you guys put a pressure on. In fact, I was on the first attempted pass by the Chargers. That was Kendricks getting the sack. So is that when you're putting together a game plan and you guys are figuring out, okay, here's what we want to do on this given occasion against this quarterback, that would suggest there's a psychological side to this thing that you do want to, in your own maybe subtle, sometimes not subtle, subtle ways, deliver messages early about how you want to approach that or how you want to put that quarterback on the defensive. Is that a big part of what you guys talk about and think about?
No, no question. You know, you say, hey, you want to let him know early in the game that, you know, we will come after you. And, you know, so you're going to have to get to the line of scrimmage and try to figure out where we're coming from and what side we're coming from, what kind of pressure it is, instead of coming to the line and just trying to read the safeties. If it's too high, one high, or they're in cover two, you know, now he's got to be concerned. Okay. Is this backer coming? Is this nickel coming? Is this safety coming? So, you know, you kind of speed up his thought process a little bit. And, so that's the reason why we wanted to have a chance to try to hit him early in the game.
As a defensive mind, I'm curious to get your observations on Jefferson, who obviously had a really big game. You guys had a lot of penalties on the offensive side, certainly. You had a few, as you mentioned, pass interference, but you had a few holding penalties again, which meant, you know, not great yardage situations. And Jefferson rendered, with Cousins, several times, those big yardage deficits rendered, you know, meaningless by going out and making, you know, getting big chunks. So when you watch him as a great defensive mind, what do you see? What do you think Jefferson's greatest strengths are?
He's tough to defend. You know, he's long. He's fast. And I think the other thing that really helps him out, he does a great job of running routes. And, you know, when he gets the ball in his hand for a long, you know, linear kind of built guy, he's strong. So, you know, you see him run through tackles too. So I think that's the part that makes him difficult to defend, because he can beat you on the short routes and extend those into long plays. And then he has the ability to beat you with his long speed and make the explosive plays down the field. So, man, I think he's a tremendous talent.
Were you all for going for it on fourth and two to finish off the game? Did you like that spirit?
Oh yeah, no, I was excited. I think the whole team was, and that, I mean, that was the right thing to do. You know, you got Dalvin Cook. You know, they got to take into account for him. You know, you got the two receivers that you could have ran a quick route and a quick flat route for a 2 yard gain, and I think it was the right thing to do. And it was a great play, and Cookie ran hard and got the first down.
And again, the key to it is on the third and 20, you get 18, right? Because if you don't get a big chunk there, you're probably not, you know, going to be tempted to go for it. If it's fourth and five, fourth and seven, fourth and eight, completely different deal. So there again, a great deal of aggressiveness, which of course all the people on the outside have been clamoring for in the Vikings offense. But it was interesting to hear your head coach Zim talk about. It does sound like it's something that he talks about with his QB about. Even he said coming off the field about, you know, if it's third and 12 or third and 18, we can't just settle for 5 yard plays. Aggressiveness is as important offensively in terms of the calls as it is defensively, is it not?
No, no question. And, you know, but, you know, sometimes, you know, players, you know, especially when you got the ball in your hand and you're pulling the trigger as a quarterback, you know, you're also being told, don't turn the ball over. That's being pounded in your head all the time. Don't turn the ball over. Don't throw interceptions. And a long yardage plays, you know, the defense, the secondary is playing deep, and they're dropping their underneath coverage guys in there deep. And, you know, they're leaving the underneath zones open because they want you to dump the ball down and then rally up and make the tackle. So, you know, sometimes you just got to say, you know what, I'm going to trust my receiver, yep, and I'm going to put it up where he can go get it, and only he can get it. And if he can, it's an incomplete pass. And then, you know, we punt the ball, we live another day. But, you know, it takes some time for you to have that kind of confidence, because you don't want to hurt the team by throwing an interception into two guys double teaming him.
Is it possible to send messages to Aaron Rodgers, your the next quarterback you need to face?
I don't think so. He's seen it all, so he's definitely, you know the top, or him and Brady 1-2, however you want to do it in this league, and he's seen it all. He's a magician. You know, he's a great, great player. He can kill you with his arm. He can get out of the pocket and then launch the ball deep down the field. He's able to check them into the proper play every time. And so it's always a big chess match, you know, when we play him, and it's a tremendous challenge, and he's a great player.
You know, it's interesting because they're not scoring massive numbers of points. I think they're averaging about 24 a game. They got 17 in Seattle. Their defense clearly is playing very well, and they are running a lot. Mm-hmm. And running very well. Is this a different? Do you see any differences based on what you've seen thus far regarding their offensive approach, or do you think it's still Rodgers and he's still, if he needs to, he's gonna try to throw?
It's been the same since LaFleur has come in there. You know, it's they want to get the run game going and get Aaron to check them in the proper run. And if you load the box, then he gets the ball out of his hands fast in the passing game. They put it in on his shoulders to get him in the correct play, and he's smart enough to be able to get that done. But, Aaron Jones is a tremendous player for him, too. So, putting the ball in his hands, whether he's running it or they're throwing it to him with him and Adams, those two are the big-time playmakers for Aaron Rodgers. And so they're trying to find a way to make sure, that those two guys have a chance to make explosive plays for them.
Last item, can you blitz? Is he too smart to blitz, or do you still have to occasionally try to bring some pressures for him just to sort of, again, give him something to think about, even if he's a wily veteran QB?
Now, we've blitzed him over the years. We've had in the 7 years we've played him, we've had some success getting after him a little bit. You just got to be smart. He cannot see that it's coming. if he sees that it's coming, he's going to know what to do with the ball. And so the guys have to work very hard on making everything look the same, and him not be able to figure out, where the pressure is coming and which guy is coming. And that's the hard work that we've got to do this week to make sure we don't give the pressures away.
Excellent work on Sunday, and excellent work with us again today. We appreciate the conversation as always, and we will chat next week. Thank you, sir.
Sounds great.
Appreciate it. That is Vikings defensive coordinator Andre Patterson. We are guest-free the rest of the way. We have a lot to, I think, maybe review and digest between the Mike Zimmer Zoom presser and the Andre Patterson, our presser. It's like it's a one-show presser, which we love, even makes it even better for us, of course.
Should we try to get one of the Kubiaks on in the five?
Maybe we should.
I don't care which one.
Doesn't matter. Just one of them?
Roll the Kubiak wheel and see who comes up.
You might be right. We have some more Vikings talking points with some very good highlights to get to. Although, as Cardsy pointed out, the radio highlights tend to be more entertaining when we suffer, when the team suffers, when there's a major breakdown. It's just because the inflection from PA and from Pete Bursich and the frustration is highly entertaining. But we still got some stuff, good stuff to cover and good ground to cover there. Top 5 at 5 will include...
We'll clean up the Vikes, we'll clean up the NFL weekend, and somehow, someway, your Minnesota Timberwolves have found another way, in plain sight, to break the rules. We'll explain what happened, how it happened, why it happened, and will it ever stop happening.